anything, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, thank you that we're able to come together this afternoon. I pray that the story about the woman in the well can impact our hearts, Lord, that we can go on and be faithful disciples. Jesus, your son's name, amen.
Amen.
So this lesson is titled, Woman at the Well. I couldn't think of anything creative, so... But it's an amazing story. And God specializes in finding and changing people we consider out of reach. Mm-hmm. He did that last chapter with Nicodemus after his encounter with Jesus. After his encounter with Jesus, he left a new man, Nicodemus, and came away with a whole new understanding of both God and himself. Today, we will see Jesus encounter another lost soul who happens to be a Samaritan woman. So as I read, I think we'll see the main point Jesus is trying to address during this encounter. We do get to see that Jesus gets tired showing his human side. We get to see examples of evangelism. But the point that I get from this passage is that every other system is broken that isn't under Jesus.
That's right.
Wow. Everything that is not God-centered is broken.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So with that, we can start reading at verse 1. Verse 1 through verse 9. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had gone through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So Jesus was facing opposition early in his ministry, as he often does, and he left Jerusalem to travel north toward Galilee, which is the map we're looking at here. Now, the blue line represents where most Jews traveled. They did everything in their power to avoid stepping foot into Samaria.
Right.
Because they hated each other. Jews and Samaritans did not get along. But Jesus, well, he chose the more direct path. He had someone in mind that he wanted to meet as well, so he went straight through Samaria. That's the red line. Why did the Jews and Samaritans not like each other? I feel like this is important to kind of build a better appreciation of what the interaction between Samaritan woman and Jesus. They were a mixed race of people, the Samaritans. When the northern kingdom with its capital Samaria fell to the Assyrians due to sin, the foreigners brought in to settle the land intermarried with the remaining Jews, creating a mixed race of people they called Samaritans. The Samaritans even built a temple to parallel the temple at Jerusalem that was eventually destroyed prior to Jesus' meeting with the Samaritan. You can read more about that in 2 Kings chapter 17 if you'd like. But for hundreds of years, Samaritans and Jews did not get along. There was division. A question that comes to mind is, what ways are we divided today?
Many.
A lot? There's a lot of ways. Good. That means there's more room for Jesus. Before I was a disciple, I cared way too much about what people thought of me. I was a jock, I was a football player. I wasn't one of the popular ones, but like I was on the team. And, you know, I did okay in high school, but you had the jocks, the athletes, you had the theater kids, you had the nerds, you had the emo kids that just like wore black everywhere. You know, there was just like so many, there's probably some I didn't list, maybe some I didn't get right. But the idea is that there was division and that there was cliques based on people's interests, values, physical appearances, and we see a lot of that division in this in the entire Bible, especially this passage. Let's continue reading. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with the well, for the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you just said is quite true." So Jesus is telling this woman stuff that he should not know. Jesus knew what this woman needed. She thought she needed water that could quench her physical thirst, but she was confused, just like Nicodemus was in chapter 3. Mm-hmm. She thought she would have to return to the well each day. She thought accepting Jesus' message would make her life easier. But from my experience, that is not true.
No.
Maybe some of you guys can relate.
Yeah.
Jesus came to change us on the inside and to empower us to look at things from God's perspective. He came to quench our spiritual thirst. In verse 14, Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah when he said he would bring living water that could forever quench a person's thirst for God. Question I have, are you thirsty for God, for Jesus' message? If not, what are you thirsty for? I've been both physically thirsty and spiritually thirsty. Both are very different feelings. I remember when I was a kid, I would race. I ran track in high school and also when I was younger. And I was the most tired and the most thirsty I think I've ever been after a 400-meter race. Not even the longest race. I didn't care if I failed my test that week. I wanted water. I was so tired, so thirsty. The same thing with football practice. I think we've all been physically thirsty before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then there's been times where I've been spiritually thirsty. I remember when I first started studying the Bible, and oh man, my sin started getting revealed. I started to see my need for reading the Bible, for getting closer to God, and I started to gain a lot of spiritual thirst. And the Samaritan woman, she would become spiritually thirsty as well. Jesus brings up some of her past. We don't know exactly why she had multiple husbands, but sin was involved. And I think it's proof of a broken system that played no part in Jesus' kingdom. There we go. Picture of someone. God was thirsty.
Yeah.
And let's continue reading. Verses 19 through 26. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is in spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Right when Jesus brings up, you know, the woman's history of having multiple husbands, she changes the subject. This is one thing I picked up on, as many of us can do sometimes when things get a little uncomfortable. We want to kind of dodge a question or a topic. She starts talking about the correct place to worship, but Jesus directed the conversation to a much more important topic, point. Not so much about the location of worship, but who we worship. We are called to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth, as it says in verse 23. And every other, like I mentioned earlier, you know, the main point I get from this passage is every other system is broken that isn't under Jesus.
Yes.
Back in biblical times, and even today, we get caught up in the physical of things. But God is far more concerned with the spiritual. There's still important aspects of things that are physical. Singing is physical, but a joyful heart is spiritual. Money is physical, but being generous is spiritual.
Amen.
Having a giving spirit is spiritual. The building and the people are physical, but the body of Christ is spiritual.
Amen.
And what's the, you know, what's the Samaritan woman's response to all this? Jesus says, "I am he, I am the Messiah." And what does the woman go to do? Verses 39 through 41. "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers." The woman was excited to share about Jesus.
Amen.
What are we excited to share? You know, when we try something and it works out, we might feel inclined to share that with somebody else.
Right.
I can think of some examples. Like if you have a really good plumber, you're going to recommend that plumber to someone else.
Yes.
A dentist, maybe. Maybe you have a really good morning routine. You got to try this out. You know, I put honey in my tea this morning and feel better than that. A personal example I can think of. My dad always shares about our dog Buddy and this oil. I think it's called hemp oil.
Yeah.
I don't know. That Donald recommended for our dog, Buddy, to use. Buddy is getting up there in years. And he's still got a few years left. And you want to live those years to the life to the full. But it's hard when you can barely, you know, stand up and you're getting old and barely moving around. Well, this oil has really helped. And my dad loves talking about it. And I'm sure you would be open to recommending that to anyone with a dog or our issues. And These are all physical examples. So how much more should we live our life and share our testimonies as a faithful servant of Jesus?
Yes.
That's just powerful stuff. As we read more in the book of John, I think we're going to see more of Jesus' ministry and how he quenches people's thirst. Not physically, but their souls as well. He did it with Nicodemus in chapter 3, and he's doing it with the Samaritan woman. Despite her past, she saw that there was hope. It was in Jesus. And there's probably a lot more that Jesus did that isn't in the book. I really look forward to, continue reading on to John to see Jesus' ministry unfold. And so I just wanted to leave us with this few thoughts. The Samaritan woman was excited to share about Jesus.
Yeah.
When we experience something good, we want to share that with other people. So let's be hungry and let's be thirsty for Jesus and let's share about Jesus, just like the Samaritan woman. Are you thirsty for Jesus? Amen.
Amen.
Amen.